standing and singing that song. Again, I join in with Brother James in welcoming all who are visiting with us today. We are so thankful that you are with us. We're thankful that everyone is here today. And certainly, we're thankful for those, some college students are already coming back. We've seen one young lady who was with us last year who came by to visit. She and her mom and said that she would be coming back the second semester, and she's here today. Sister Thomas from Gaston, certainly glad to see her come back to begin her study here at Alabama A&M. I believe she said when she was here the last time that she's going to be pursuing her master's degree. So let's be encouraging her. And others will be coming back as the week progresses. So keep them in prayer, as it has been said, as they are traveling back with us this week. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11 were read in our hearing this morning. I want to reread verse number 8 as we begin our lesson this morning, where Peter says, "Be sober." This is a familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of us. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." I chose this passage this morning because I wanted to talk about something that has been relevant throughout the last several years. And I want to apply it to those of us who are Christians. And certainly if you're not a Christian, of course, we encourage you to become a Christian. But over the last several years, since 9/11, which occurred, as we know, in 2001, when the terrorists with the two planes flew into the World Trade Center, and the other landed just south of Washington in Virginia, crash landed. But since that time, we have become accustomed to hearing of level of alert status. The Department of Homeland Security put the actual system in place in March of 2002 to warn citizens of the possibility of a terrorist attack. And there are five levels of alerts. They go all the way from low to severe. Low, guarded, elevated, high, and severe. When either one of these alerts is signaled, and I'm told as I looked at this, I'm told that there's only been one time that a severe level of alert was issued. But when either one of these alerts is signaled, the citizens are warned to be very vigilant of dangers or threats. But I want to say to us this morning that long before 2001, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, mankind has been confronted with the havoc of the devil attacking mankind. And he still is seeking to harm mankind today. So Peter's admonition to the Christians who were under attack from the enemies of Christianity, who were suffering greatly, Peter wrote to them and admonish them to be on alert. He says, "I want you to be watchful." That word vigilant means watchful. And that's what they say, that, you know, if a alert is issued, that we want the citizens to be aware of their surroundings, to notice any unusual activity, and to report it to the authorities, because we are concerned about keeping our citizens safe. Well, when the Christians were under attack in the first century, Peter says, be watchful. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh. Notice the term walketh. That word walketh means he continues to be on the prowl. He may not bother you today, but he's bothering somebody, because he's continually walking, even in the days of Job. You remember when the Bible talks about the sons of God presented themselves to the Lord, and Satan came also? And God asked him, in so many words, why are you here? Satan said in Job chapter 1 that I'm walking to and fro, up and down in the earth. Satan doesn't stay still. He just keep moving. So he's on the prowl, and so he walketh about, Peter says, and he's not just walking for exercise. He's not just walking to keep himself in shape, but he's walking, the Bible says, seeking or looking for somebody to tear asunder, to devour. So I say to us this morning that we are not under a low status of alert. We're not underguarded. But we are under a severe, the devil wants us. So as we begin a new year, I want us to begin with a mindset. The devil wants me this year. The devil wants to tear me down spiritually. But I want us to put it in our minds that I'm not going to let the devil tear me down. I know you're out here, devil, but I'm not going to let you get me. So maintain always a severe level alert status. For as long as God allows us to live, we're going to have to be watchful. So I want to talk very briefly this morning, hopefully I'll finish all of them, about four things that we need to be on alert for. Number one, of course, from the scripture that we have just read, be on the alert for the devil. Because the devil does not mean us any good at all. Sometimes he even lie to us and pretend that he means us some good. He lied to Eve, didn't he? He pretended to Eve that he meant her some good. Y'all remember how he said back there in Genesis chapter 3? Has God said to you that you should not eat of every tree that sit in the garden? She says, yes, God said that. But of the tree that sits in the midst, thou shalt not eat, lest thou die. Satan says, you will not surely die, but you're going to become like a god. He was pretending to mean her some good. But we know how the story ended up. That, of course, God cast she and her husband out of the garden. So he is a liar, even when he pretends to mean some good. And sometimes folks will lie to you today, pretending to do you some good. But a lie has never done anybody any good. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, talking about the devil, as Jesus was in a conversation with those disbelieving Jews there, he said over there that you are of your father, the devil. He says that, and the lust of your father you'll do. He says that he was a murderer from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. He didn't just become a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he says, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar. And he's the father of it. We need to be watchful for the devil. So don't make the mistake of listening to the devil. And that's where Eve made her mistake. She began to listen to him and began to entertain what he was saying. But if you make a mistake and listen to him, or if he slips upon you, then you need to be ready to resist him. So after Peter says, be watchful for the devil, then he tells these Christians in verse number 9, he says to them, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And I want to tell us this morning, that's the only way we're going to be able to resist the devil is must be steadfast in the faith. There's no way you and I can resist the devil of our own. We're going to have to be in the faith and living according to the faith. Resist him, he says, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. How did Jesus resist the devil? Three times the devil tempted him in the wilderness. Every time Jesus resisted him steadfast in the faith by using the word of God. Three times in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus used these words, it is written. It was written where? In the word of God. And if you and I want to resist the devil today, we're going to have to resist him steadfast in the faith. If he get us out of the faith, he got us. Because he knows we cannot handle him on our own. That's why Jesus stayed in the faith. He stayed with the word. Resist him steadfast, he says, in the faith. So when we resist him steadfast in the faith, that not only means do we use the word, but that means also that we trust the word, that it will be effective in our lives in resisting him. Now, if we don't believe in the word, he'll still get us. But we've got to believe in the word that it will be effective in our lives. That's why Paul says when he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, he says, there has no temptation taken you but as such is common to man. But then he goes on and he says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able. But he will, with such temptations, provide you a way of escape. Now that's what the word says. The word says, if you put your trust in God, you're going to be tempted, yes. But God will provide you a way of escape. Now, you got to trust that and take the way that God provides you. We can't say, God, you ain't doing it right. I need to do it another way. We need to take God's way of escape. And when we take God's way of escape, we can be assured that the devil will not conquer us. So we need to resist him, and we need to draw near to God. James chapter 4 and verse number 7 and 8, the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Push back. Push back. He's coming, but push back. Resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So, we must trust God to deliver us if we are going to resist the devil. We must draw near to God if we're going to resist the devil. But also, we must not be ignorant of his devices. We must realize that Satan has an arsenal of devices at his disposal. And he will tempt us with whatever he knows that'll get us. Satan knows what'll get us, and he knows what won't get us. Satan knows, Brother Malone, that chocolate cake, that is that rich, dark chocolate cake, won't get me because I don't like it. But it'll get you because you like it. So he's not going to dingle no rich, dark chocolate cake in my face. He's going to dingle a banana pudding in my face. He knows exactly what each one of us lack, and he knows exactly what each one of us doesn't lack or do not lack. He knows. So he has an arsenal of tricks out there. And Paul said this to the church at Corinth when he was writing to them about forgiving this brother who had erred. He said over there, you need to do that. Lest, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what this brother had done? He had taken his father's wife and had committed fornication. Sometimes it may not be that we have a problem with forgiving, but it may be something else. And Satan will dangle that carrot before our faith and say, don't forgive them of that because they shouldn't have been doing it anyway. She knew better than to tell a lie, so don't forgive her when she say, oh, I'm sorry. She knew better than to be talking about me, so don't, or he knew better than to be talking about me, so don't forgive him when he says, I'm sorry that I said that. This is what Paul is talking to these Corinthian Christians about. You need to forgive this brother. He has repented now, so you need to forgive him. Because if you listen to Satan, Satan will say, keep him in his sin. Sometimes folks want to keep folks in their sin. It's like the lady who was caught in adultery. They brought her to Jesus. And they said, what shall we do? We know what Moses said. Now, what you going to say? Jesus acted like he didn't even hear him. This is found in John chapter 8. Scribble on the ground. Bible says they kept on asking him. He stooped down again. He says, ye that are without sin, let him what? Cast the first stone. Stooped back down and wrote some more on the ground and raised himself back up and said, woman, where are thy accusers? She said, I have none. Because they all were convicted in their own hearts. And they walked away. Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus says, I'll forget your sins and your iniquity. We're going to talk, that's in my lesson for the night, of the Lord forgetting things in our past. But so many times people will get caught up because the devil knows that when somebody hurt our feeling, that it really hurts our feeling, he knows we want to hold on to that thing. And he'll keep telling us, don't forgive her, don't forgive him, because they hurt you so bad. So Paul says, you need to forgive that brother, lest Satan get the advantage of you, because we're not ignorant of his devices. So we need to realize that Satan has some power. He can hold sway over our lives. He doesn't have all the power, but he has some power. And the real and how he holds sway over our lives is that we give in to it. We give in to it. You know what James says? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away after his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. When we give in to it. So Paul says to these Christians at Corinth, don't give in to it. I know you don't want to forgive him. I know that was a ridiculous thing that he did. the Gentiles, he had said in that chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he had said the Gentiles don't even do things like that. So that's an atrocious thing that he did. So you want to hold him captive. Paul said, don't let Satan get the advantage of you. So recognize that Satan has some power, and he doesn't mind unleashing his power on us, especially if we're children of God. He will unleash that power on us. But one thing we need to remember, as we strive to resist Satan in this year, we need to remember that we have power on our side. He has some power, but we have the power on our side. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4 says this. Notice what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says, ye are of what? God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, do we believe that? If you and I believe that, we can resist the devil. That's why I said we got to put trust, confidence in the word of God. So Satan is going to be out there. He's going to be walking. So we need to make sure that we maintain a severe level of alert, because he doesn't mean us any good at all. The thief, John 10:10, says, cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what Satan's objective is. He wants to destroy our souls. So we need to be on alert for the devil. But not only that, but as we travel through this year, we need to be on severe high alert for covetousness. Covetousness can so easily creep into our lives. Jesus, in a conversation that he was having with his, particular with his disciples in Luke chapter 12, but the Bible says that there was an innumerable multitude assembled there. You know what the word innumerable means? So many there, they couldn't count them. There were a lot of folks there, but he was talking particular to his disciples. And he was talking about things that were spiritual, things that would have a direct relationship on their relationship with him, their spirituality, if you will. You go back there and you read that, and you see that he was talking about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He was talking about such things as don't fear man who can just kill the body, but you really need to fear God who can destroy both body and soul. He was talking about things like, if you don't confess me, then I will not confess you. And then he was talking about things like, if you speak against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. But if you speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall never be forgiven you. All of these things had a relationship, or a direct relationship with their relationship to God and to him. And it seemed like out of the blue, the Bible says, and one in the company started talking about some material stuff. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? We know what was on his mind. He wasn't concerned about what the Lord had just said. He was concerned about something material. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak unto my brother that he might divide the inheritance with me. He's talking about some stuff. So many folks get caught up in stuff. This stuff ain't gonna, Brother Jimmy talked about it this morning. This stuff, he didn't use the word stuff, but he was talking about it when he was teaching in the book of Revelation. All of us, all of these things we have, it's gonna leave. They ain't gonna last. But here Jesus was talking about some things that would last. And here he comes up out of the blue and talking about something that ain't gonna last. Master, speak to my brother that he might divide the inheritance with me. And sometimes folks get all caught up in property matters. They fuss and they fight and they go to court over property matters. Stuff that ain't going to last. Stuff that don't matter. They fall out and don't speak to one another for the next 100 years because somebody got 2/10 of an acre more than they got. So this man says, speak to my brother that he might divide the inheritance with me. Jesus said, Master, I'm a man who made me a judge over you. He says, but you need to be on the alert. You need to be on the high alert. He says, beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life does not consist of the things in this life. And so many folks, that life revolves around their bank account. Life revolves around their friends. Life, many times, revolves around the family when family isn't an important institution. But sometimes folks will put family before God. Life revolves around their education. Life revolves around this, around that. And they get it all twisted. Jesus says, life does not consist of the abundance of things that you have in this life. Good News Translation, sometimes I dabble in it and see what it says about it. It says, life is not about all the money you have in the bank. I don't know whether y'all gonna vote for Donald Trump or not. He got a lot of money. Sometimes I wonder if he thinks that life revolves around the money he has. But we may not have but a dime. And we may think that life revolves around that one little dime. So this man thought life revolved around this parcel of land that he thought the brother was going to take from him. So Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Well, Brother Branch, what's so bad about covetousness? Well, I'll tell you what's so bad about covetousness. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. And I may not finish this lesson this morning. Paul says, mortify, put to death, therefore, your members that are upon the earth, or which are upon the earth. And then he starts talking about these members. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put that to death. Get that out of your mind. Get rid of that, because it is damnable to one's soul. Covetousness causes one to put whatever the stuff is before God. God said a long time ago in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Covetousness then puts stuff before God. It is idolatry. And being idolatry, it is a work of the flesh. When you go to Galatians chapter 5 and you start reading at verse number 19, it says, now the works of the flesh is this, or consists of these. And it gives a list of things. And then in 19, and then in verse 20, it says this, idolatry. Uh-oh. The works of the flesh is what? Idolatry. So when we get caught up in covetousness, when we get caught up in this greed, when we get caught up in putting things before God because we are so concerned about materialistic things, it is a work of the flesh. And when you continue to read in verse number 21 of chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, it says this, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not, not may not, not probably won't, but shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus had to call this young man on the carpet, so to speak, and say, you need to watch that. You need to beware of covetousness, because a man's life does not consist in the things that he has or the abundance of things that he has. Covetousness, which is idolatry, is a work of the flesh. And we just read there that those that do such things or who get caught up in such things, no way in the world they're going to go to heaven. Don't get caught up in material stuff. I know we need material stuff to get us through life. But don't put material stuff in the wrong place. Keep it in its proper perspective. Use it for the glory of God. And we'll be all right. So, it's a work of the flesh. And it will bar the door of heaven to us. In a little while, we're going to be singing how beautiful heaven must be. We'll never get there if we die with the sin of covetousness over our head. But Satan don't want us to get there. And he'll tempt us. He'll dangle all kinds of stuff. And he'll make us think that somebody else is getting ahead of us, Robert. That's what was wrong with this one in the company. Out of all of the things that Jesus had talked about, I would suppose he wasn't hearing none of it. Only thing he had on his mind, as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to ask him this question. I'm going to tell him this. I don't care anything about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I don't care anything about denying him and confessing him. I don't care anything about speaking against the Son of Man. I just care about my brother's going to get ahead of me. So as soon as I can get a chance, I'm going to ask him that question. Don't put nothing ahead of God. It's a work of the flesh. And not only that, but it being a work of the flesh, then, it causes one to be under condemnation. Y'all remember we just finished a lesson, three lessons on the blessedness of being in Christ. And one of those things we talked about is that we have the privilege or the great blessing of not being condemned. We don't have to walk around as a condemned person spiritually in God's sight. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, now there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh. Covetousness is after the flesh. Now, if we're walking after the flesh or after covetousness, then we're walking after the flesh. We are condemned. We have a spiritual sentence of spiritual death on our head if we are caught up in covetousness. So don't go through this life, this year, as long as God would have you to live, getting caught up in stuff. It denies entrance to heaven. It causes one to be under condemnation. And one who is guilty of this cannot please God. And if we can't please God, and if we don't please God, there's no way we're going to get to that beautiful place called heaven. Paul went on to say in the same chapter, Romans chapter 8, verse number 5 through 8, he says this, for they that are after the flesh, just keep covetousness in your mind. That's the point we're driving now. Keep stuff in your mind. That's what we're talking about. They that are after the flesh, they that are caught up in stuff, they that are caught up in material things, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I just told you, this man, young, old, whatever, he was just saying, one in the company, whatever his age was, he wasn't after the Spirit, he was after the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then he goes on in the next verse and he says, for to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded means the same thing as fleshly minded. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then verse 7, he says this, because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. It's an enmity of God. And it was pointed out, even in the Sunday school, adult Sunday school, this morning, as I've said so many times, if you or if I or we are an enemy of God, forget it, we'll never win. So because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now look at what verse 8 says. So then, they that are caught up in covetousness, in stuff, cannot please God. So when you go back to Luke chapter 12 and you finish the story that Jesus told this man about the necessity of his being aware of covetousness, he tells in this story of this rich farmer whose crops brought forth bountifully. And he tore down the big barns that he had and he built a bigger barn. And then he says, I got it made. Now I got all the stuff I need. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to take it easy. And then the Bible says, then the Lord said to him, this night your soul will be required of thee. It's a bad thing, brothers and sisters, to let stuff cause us the loss of our soul. And that's what stuff will do when we don't put it in the right perspective. It will cause us to lose our soul. So this rich man, he had it all, but he lost it all. And on top of losing the stuff he had, he lost his soul. So Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? So we can have all the stuff we want, but if we lose our soul, we've lost it all. Satan knows we lack stuff. He knows that. He knows we lack stuff. That's why he'll dangle stuff in our eyes. But I'm saying to us this morning, don't let the stuff have us. We have the stuff, but don't let the stuff have us. Young lady who's just coming to school, and all who are in school, have the education, but don't let the education have you. Because when the education have you, it'll cause you to think you don't even need God. It'll cause you to think that all of this that you gain in life is all because of you, or because of us. Remember, it's God that's blessing us to have whatever we have. So Peter says to these Christians who were struggling even in their faith because of the persecutions that they were under, the devil ain't going to let you alone, Peter says. But I want you to be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant. In today's sermon, I'm saying to us, let's always maintain a severe alert status, because Satan is just like the terriers. They want to inflict and destroy everybody and everything they can to inflict pain upon their targets. Be aware. Be alert. I'll finish this at some other time. I need to stop now. Two more things I needed to say, but I'll save that. Maybe we'll finish it up next week. So as I close this morning, let us always then be on the lookout for the greatest terrorist of all, and that's the devil. He's engaged in a holy war, and that's what these jihadists are saying. They're engaging in a holy war. Satan is engaged in a holy war against our souls. He knows he's not going to hell. He knows he was there once. He knows he's not getting back there to see how beautiful it was. He don't want anybody else to get there. But unless we are on the alert, he'll take us down with him. Are you here then this morning, and you're subject to the call of the gospel? The only way again that you can defeat Satan is to be one of God's children. trusting in his word. How do you become one of God's children? By hearing and believing the gospel, hearing how God loved you and how Christ died for your sins and how he was buried in the heart of the earth and how he rose again, a conquering king, on the first day of the week or the third day morning. Believe in him as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Make that good confession that he is the Son of God. Don't be like this one in the company, remember? That was one of the things that Jesus was talking about to his disciples that had this innumerable multitude of people surrounding him. He was talking about confessing him. He that confessed me, he says, him will I confess before my Father and his angels. But he that denied me, him will I also deny before my Father and his angels. So make that good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Notice I said his church. Not just a church, but his church. Because he only has one. And it's the church of Christ. Would you become a member of it? The only way you can become a member of it is to obey his plan of salvation. Mankind will tell you almost any other thing you want to hear. How to become a member. But you need to do it like God said. Become a member and then continue to live faithful unto death by maintaining always this severe alert status for the devil, because he's out to get you. Be faithful unto death. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. If you're already a member, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God, maybe you got caught up in stuff. Maybe you got a problem with unforgiveness. Maybe you got some other problem that's contrary to the will of God. Turn away from that, because Jesus says, Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Turn away from that. And if you need to confess before us this morning, do that. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, while we stand and sing How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, would you come?
Heaven. Great for the pure and the free. These truths in God worthy and given. How beautiful heaven